please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler
alert. Oh. We're doing an Ant-Man Wasp spoiler.
You know what? I'm not ready to start.
Why not?
I don't know. I need another minute.
What do you need that minute for?
I just, it's too cold in here.
How dare you? It's so hot in Southern California right now, sir. How dare you say that?
And I'm from Philly. So
yeah,
it's
enough. My apartment, it's hot at the beach, right?
So my apartment. You get a breeze.
Yeah, it's been dead. There's been no air down there, like no breeze. So my apartment has been hot. This happens every year. I'm like, should I just spend $200 on it buying an air conditioner?
For the window.
For the window, yeah. For the
so you could sleep.
16 days a year that I need it. Because otherwise, I'm like, all my windows are open and I have a fan blasting and it's I went on a bike ride this morning, got back, took a cold shower. Got out of the shower sweating.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was back in the South or something. Yeah. So
this almost isn't worth living in paradise.
I know. I can't handle this. I might have to go surfing later today.
Yeah, just to cool off.
It's too hot.
I don't want to.
I don't want to go in the Pacific Ocean when it's sunny and warm. Yeah. I surfed all weekend. It was great.
So, you know, I've started writing it down now on these the sheets. This is spoiler app 83. We don't have to check anymore.
Oh.
New system.
The elaborate system of just checking ahead of time?
Yes. Yeah, that's a... I had to put it on the whiteboard.
Good for you. Thank God we're using that whiteboard.
Yeah. So, Ant-Man and Wasp, spoiler app. We got to start with the end.
Okay. Love the end. We're talking about the in the middle of the credits where everybody disappears.
Yeah,
that was fucking great.
So it's like, you know, there were some decisions like, well, should we put this at the end of the movie or is this going to be a mid-credit sequence? Because really, that's the end of the movie.
That is the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then the last credit was just that giant ant playing the drums.
Yeah.
Okay, that was funny.
Yeah.
But this...
It was part of the fucking story.
This is part of the MCU.
Yes.
This is tying the Ant-Man, little teeny Ant-Man world into the Infinity War ending.
Yes. Now, you could also argue, too, like, when did Ant-Man take place? When is this going on? And, if that's when Thanos, snuffed his fingers and snuffed out half the universe, where were they? Why weren't they helping fight and all those things? I think... This is my theory, is that the majority of the movie happened before Infinity War.
Yeah.
And then it's really just at the end that Infinity War was kind of happening when he was in the quantum realm and that kind of happened. So could still argue that, like, well, there's probably reports all over the news that this is going on.
I think timeline-wise, I didn't have a huge problem with it because they kept...
I didn't either. I could suspend my disbelief on it. Yeah.
They kept referring to as though he just got back, or he was 2 years removed from Civil War.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I helped Cap out, and Cap's my buddy, and your two-year, whatever they call it,
house arrest
is ending soon.
Right.
So he's only 2 years removed from that. So, yeah. And he's been under house arrest. He can't have any contact with anybody. So, and I think everybody, all of the Avengers know this.
Right.
You know, we're going to just, we don't need Ant-Man.
Right.
It's probably the Avengers, we got to have Ant-Man.
It's not like Scarlet Witch is under house arrest.
Yeah, you know, it's Tony Stark wasn't under house arrest. Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, it's Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So let him stay in his house arrest. Mm-hmm. And that made sense to me. And then it was like, it felt a little bit further down the road. Everyone's back. Michelle Pfeiffer's back in the real world.
Yes.
Him and Wasp they're a full couple because she was bitter that he bailed on her for Captain America.
And they've got a new quantum tunnel in a van.
They got a new van, a mobile quantum tunnel.
So there was clearly a passage of time, from that ending part.
Yeah, from when he saves the day and you know, the FBI agent who I thought was very funny.
That was funny.
He was a funny FBI agent because he was sort of like wanting to be liked.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a hard ass FBI agent, but then was kind of a a nerdy, kind of a baby or whatever you want to call. So that was cool. And yeah, it all made sense to me. And when they disappeared in the credits, I thought that was so awesome. I was like, oh
yeah, my kids went nuts on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole theater went nuts. Yeah, it was awesome. And I was like, God, this is why I love Marvel.
Right. You could only do that after 20 films.
Yeah.
You know, to surprise people like that. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and so they're just, it's a running cliffhanger.
Right.
It's so cool. So.
And now, I haven't watched all of Luke Cage yet, but I don't know if.
does he disappear at the end of Luke Cage? I haven't began watching it.
I don't know if because they've made it clear that those four Marvel shows tie into the, you know, larger Marvel universe. Is Infinity War going to be mentioned in any of the upcoming seasons?
I haven't watched it yet. How is Luke Cage?
It's good. I'm only like 3 or 4 episodes in, so I haven't really gotten into it.
And I haven't watched Jessica Jones either.
I love Jessica Jones. That's, I think, one of my favorites. That one and Daredevil are my two favorites. And no one likes Iron Fist.
Yeah, no one likes Iron Fist. Yeah. I like Defenders.
Yeah.
Over Iron Fist.
Yes. And that one wasn't great.
Yeah.
So, and I love dragons. So.
You can't lose.
Yeah. So anyway, it was great. It really sets it up. Now, will there be another Ant-Man and Wasp movie? Of course there's going to be another Ant-Man and Wasp movie. Now, we're getting to the point now where, like, each Marvel character, how many movies is each one going to get? Solo movies. You know, you might see him again in other movies. Like, you know, there's going to be another Guardians. You know, there were already 3 Iron Man movies. You know, is there going to be another... movie, there were 3 Thor movies. Is there going to be a 4th movie with these solo characters? Or is the Marvel plan to introduce new characters and then, like, Captain Marvel will get 3 movies? Mm-hmm. Like, and then, so I don't know, but I'm interested to see. Like, I'm really excited to see, like, where they go. Like, Ant-Man and Wasp, we'll get another movie for them, but you know they're going to be in Infinity War for the next one, for sure. Is Ant-Man being stuck in the quantum realm, did that protect him from what Thanos did? And then Doctor Strange knew that, and he was going to use the Time Stone to have Ant-Man help. You know, who knows what's going to happen? But there's all these cool possibilities. And some of the fun is talking about it and speculating about it. Like, oh, well, what happened? Who's going to come back, and who's going to be saved? And what was Doctor Strange's plan with the Time Stone and all these cool things?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And it really, the thing that was interesting for me is how we were just talking about. So Ant-Man was in
Civil War,
but he was definitely like, hey, it almost kind of the way they kept Spider-Man, like, hey, kid.
You know,
but now he survived Thanos' craziness because he's in the quantum realm.
Right.
Is he become a more integral part of
the Marvel Universe?
Of this post-Infinity War world that we live in.
Right. The other thing that I liked what they did is, too, you know, when Ant-Man, the first movie, there was never even implied that he could get big. Like, giant. Right. Like, you know, if you read the comics, you knew him. Like, you know, he can get big, too.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that he did it in Civil War was absolutely hilarious. Like, the way that he first started growing. He went got giant. And then, oh, my God, I loved the way they played around with his size in this movie. When he was, like, kid-sized and he's, like, running down the hall in the school.
That was
funny.
Oh, my
God. And he comes back to the garden like, well, do you want a juice box and a string cheese?
Yeah, that was funny. And the one problem I had, okay, he's got the suit that's malfunctioning.
Right.
So they could do that, which is funny. And then, oh, I kept my old suit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then now why are you still wearing the shitty one?
Right. Like,
when he got the old suit, I thought they were going to go, okay, we're done with this, like...
this prototype.
This gag of the suit that doesn't... Now, all they needed to say was, I got the good suit, we're all set.
Right, right.
And then he can go back, because I was like, I was starting to get a little old for me, the, like, suit malfunction gag.
Right, right.
And I was like, well, you just introduced this suit, why don't...
Yeah, go back to the suit that works.
Yeah, why would you?
Or was there a line of dialogue that said, like, well, this, even though it malfunctions, it's still better, but I don't remember that.
Nope, I don't remember that at all.
So here's another thing I liked. I liked the moral ambiguity of the villains, like Lawrence Fishburne and Ghost. Like, Ghost was, she just wanted to survive. I mean, yeah. That wasn't like, it wasn't a take over the world or,
you know, diabolical. Invent something.
Yeah, it was like, you know, she, you know, has this problem of phasing and she doesn't want to die. I get it. You know, that's fine. And it also fit beautifully into the tone and set pieces of this movie that were essentially smaller than the big giant Marvel universe. We didn't see Wakanda. You know, they're going down the streets of San Francisco and making their cars bigger and smaller. You know, that's fine. That's right. All we need for this movie.
Oh, it's great. So, and Lawrence Fishburne, part of that, again, he wasn't some like diabolical 30-year revenge plot.
No.
He was just like, no, I wanted
to help her.
I wanted to become
her father.
I thought, you know, I was on the good side of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we didn't get along and you're kind of a pompous dick. So right. Whatever, like that mm-hmm. filtered in, but that was again, small.
Right.
It wasn't mm-hmm. world domination. Lawrence Fishburne right. wasn't like, I've started this secret society yeah. of phasers or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And it also showed too, that was hinted at in the first film, that Hank Pym could be kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, you're not blameless in this, which was really interesting too. So that was interesting to explore. I really liked the dynamic with all the characters. Like, I think that was a little forced, like, you know, the will they or won't they, you know, the romance part of it, you know.
That shit always drives me nuts.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just like it's a studio note. Well, this has to be in here. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it does feel dumb studio note, and it feels like, so in the trailer, that was very much like Ant-Man and Wasp are working together. That didn't happen until a lot later, and I was sort of like, Let's get into them working together, like being the badass team, the power couple.
Right.
I always think of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie.
Because
yeah.
they started out, Mr. and Mrs. married couple. They're both spies. They don't know, their spouse knows. And then we get over that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they team up for the whole second half of the movie. And it's awesome.
Right.
So just fucking get into the team up. Get in mm-hmm. instead of this bickering crap. Just team up and fucking get it. Like, go whoop ass together
right,
in your badass suits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the only thing. And we talked about this in the regular episode. That relationship dynamic is where I thought so much of the dialogue. I was like, come on.
A little clunky. Yeah.
So clunky, so mm-hmm. cliche and forced. And it really stands out. When you've got all these other excellent elements, like you say, the ambiguity of Ghost in Lawrence Fishburne's
right.
character, how awesome Michelle Pfeiffer mm. was, that storyline.
Even like the goofy gangster Walter Goggins played, like
yes.
Him and his like his team, it's not truth serum. You know, that was
that
a funny gag.
That fucking thing, it's not truth serum, was goddamn hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it walks like a duck in a duck,
yeah.
you know, like... I mean, T.I. and the guy from the Dark Knight movies, that he always plays the crazy villain in one of the Dark Knight movies... those guys were great comic relief. Michael mm. Pena's character,
right.
I like, and they all made sense. And they're all, I get like when some of their jokes might have been a little corny. I forgave
right.
them because I'm like, kids movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna make the mm-hmm. jokes a little more cornier in a kids mm-hmm. movie. But that thing between and Evangeline Lilly is such a. I really like her as an actress. She's strong. She's really well cast as this Wasp character. And I was just like, I don't want to see her like, ugh, boys, stop comparing each other. Like, no,
right,
she's
right.
a badass. She's not some bitchy little girl in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, show her be the strong, awesome woman.
Right.
And, like, I hate that. It's so annoying. No one wants to watch people argue.
No. You can get that in real life.
Yeah, just watch the news. Like, have them like, okay, she's mad. He bailed on her. I didn't feel forced about Hank and his daughter and Wasp mad about him bailing for Civil War.
Right.
And that was funny when he's like, well, you know, Cap and I. And she's like, oh, Cap. So you
yeah.
guys are buddies now.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
Because ultimately, with him using the suit, it got them in trouble.
Yes.
Like, and they're like, well, wait, we didn't do anything. Well, no, that was your technology. So you're on the run as well.
Yeah. And the mm-hmm. FBI is mm-hmm. is after them and all of this stuff.
Because of him.
Because of him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's legitimate anger. And also her feeling a little slighted just relationship wise, but she's more angry about the compromise and the security
right
with her and her dad, which is valid. So that's why, because they have all these other elements down so well, that dialogue stands out even more to me as like...
It's a little clunky. A
little clunky, and like, you don't need it. Mm-hmm. And it's a kid's movie. Why? Why do we have to have these arguey relationships that aren't realistic?
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. I guess there's some people who are in relationships where they argue all the time and they that doesn't make sense in terms of fighting crime.
It's a classic Hollywood trope.
Yeah.
It's really what it is. It's
it's tired.
It's like, you know, you remember, you go back to anywhere from any sitcom ever to, you know, even Gone with the Wind, talked about earlier. But, you know, even Cheers, you know, that they... you know, that Sam and Diane are arguing, and they just, one of them goes, "Are you as turned on as I am?" And then she goes, "More," and then they start kissing. So it's that kind of feel to it that in Hollywood never goes away. it's a trope of these of movies for sure. So I'd like to see that. I know by now there's more interesting ways to do it. Like, even if they do argue and they end up falling in love, that's... If it's done in a different, interesting way, I think it could be a little more organic and palatable. But we always see it done the same way.
Right. That's so, it. That's a great point. Mm-hmm. Had it been more like these two people care about each other, they share the same goals, you know, like when it's really well written, it's funny. I've been watching old West Wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship between Stocker Channing and Martin Sheen as president and first lady... That is really well written, in my opinion. When they have these arguments, they're married couple arguments within the context of they both understand his job.
Right.
And her job as first lady. And the global, you know, and I was like, it. And sometimes they the way they talk to each other, they love each other. Like she said, okay, jackass. And it's just like only...
The wife of the president.
The wife of the president can say that. And she can say, and she's never going to say it in front of anyone else.
Right.
Behind closed doors.
Right. It won't be at a press conference.
It won't be at a press conference.
Now, we might get that now.
Right, but... right. But like, and so I put that next to, here are the two superheroes. When they're bickering like that, they have no, the writing is lazy because it's the characters aren't, they're not, talking honestly about, we're not some dumb couple, we're not fucking arguing at IKEA, we're two goddamn superheroes. There's a crisis happening,
right?
And we need to, that's how the argument would be discussed. Right.
And mainly, why would you argue at IKEA?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a glorious place.
It's a great place. Walk through that fucking maze of
Of things you could build yourself that will never last.
Yeah. It's great. A maze of college dormitory furniture. But no, I mean, that's the thing of like that. And I
built a Schladenfadel.
Oh, yeah. why can't you just call it a coffee table? Yeah. Why do you got to call it a Schladenfalum? So, that's why I hate to keep harping on it, but because it stood out so much.
Now, to be fair, it wasn't a huge part of the overall story, which was good.
No.
It was definitely minimized. Like, it wasn't a moonlighting episode.
No.
But it was definitely there for sure.
But then let's go into all the other great things. So the effects were awesome. I said this on the regular.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I saw it in IMAX 3D.
When he's riding the truck like a toy, like, oh
God,
my God.
Damn
fantastic.
It, was that awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. It looked cool.
Yeah.
The technology was cool. And it was also so in context of this character and this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. Mm-hmm. And he's a kid.
Right.
He's a big Paul Rudd. It is well cast as the sort of like big baby,
right,
adult kid.
You know, kind of a genius that makes constantly poor decisions.
And so when he has the opportunity to ride this thing around like a toy in downtown San Francisco, he's going to do it.
Of course.
And he gets to mock the guys in it.
Right.
And it was really that chase was really cool, you know. And so I like that. I love Michelle Pfeiffer.
She was great.
Mm-hmm. She was great. you know, she's only a little bit in the flashbacks, and then she's more towards the end of the movie when, when we go to the quantum realm and she comes back. That was beautiful. I like the whole storyline of
she... Probably going to be in the next one, I would think, if she comes back.
If she was turned to dust, buddy. Yeah. I don't know. She asked for a pay raise. You know, anyone asked for a pay raise, guess what?
Yeah, you're still Ash.
You ain't coming back from that Thanos dust. If you're like, oh, I'll work for scale. Well, we put you back together.
Right. Time stone works.
But I, you know... I loved when she came back at the end. I loved that whole storyline of she was like speaking through Paul Rudd. Mm-hmm. He had that crazy dream, and then he's literally talking. She's talking through him, and Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly are like, their eyes light up because here's my husband and, or here's my wife and here's my mom. But it's Paul Rudd. It was really, it was funny, but touching. It was really, I really liked that a lot. And then when Michelle Pfeiffer comes back at the end, when she's like, hey, I'm different now because I've been living in the quantum realm for so long.
Yeah.
And she kind of, and that's when I was like, oh, she's going to fix the ghost girl like that.
Yeah. You know,
like,
she at this point, she probably knows something about manipulating the quantum energy.
Yeah. I think she can stop that phasing nonsense.
Those, here's an interesting piece of trivia. You know, those like weird creatures that were in there that kind of looked like six-legged pigs, they actually exist. They're subatomic creatures that they actually found, you know. So they, I can't remember what they're called, but they do actually exist, which is really
that
cool.
That was so, that makes that even better. And that scene, again, in the IMAX 3D was awesome he's trying to get the ship back online. Mm-hmm. And these quantum pigs are coming at him or whatever. And I was like, this is great.
Now I'm curious.
And that was so cool about, and then I said this on the regular episode, I saw it in IMAX 3D and it was, I felt like Doctor Strange in terms of when they went into that special world, it's really when the IMAX 3D really was utilized to the fullest amount of its capacity. And
I really feel like that's like, those scenes are almost designed for 3D. It's like, well, this is for the people that are watching it in 3D. You know, we got to give them their money's worth.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm big brother to a kid and he's 11 and he loved it. He had a blast and he was like, oh, that's cool. And look at that. And he was laughing. And so it was really... it's a really fun, as we said on the regular episode, it's a family movie, it's for kids, and it's worth it, I think.
Oh, for sure. Like, it was, it really, and the thing about Marvel is that, you know, it's rare that they miss the mark. Like, this is the type of movie where you saw what the intent and the vision was, and it was executed properly. Mm-hmm. Like, this movie was set out to be a family film that was lighter than the other Marvel movies, and it succeeded.
Yeah.
Like, as like, well, this is the movie. It was like Guardians of the Galaxy. This is the movie we're going to make. It's going to be a more fun, funnier space adventure. You know, it's not going to be darker, like a spy thriller like Winter Soldier. And they succeeded. You know, they made a talking raccoon that no one ever heard of, you know, a great character that you're like, I can't wait to see this character again. Yeah.
It was really... and again, they, if this wasn't part of the MCU, the movie could stand alone on its own.
For sure.
I mean, obviously you can't have the ending. But like, could really stand alone on its own. It's like, oh, here's this cool superhero character that's kind of for kids.
It could be just The Incredibles. It could be the same kind of thing.
Yeah, like a live action Incredibles. Mm-hmm. But it was, I'm trying to think of, you know, when he gets too big towards the end and he's losing air and he falls into the water and then she goes in to save him and fix him, which was great.
Yeah, that was
sort
really
of brought
cool.
their relationship together.
And I will say this too is the movie was funny all the way through. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a lot of times, sometimes comedies, they run out of gas about three quarters of the way through. And then all of a sudden, like, the last act is too serious or there's not enough jokes or, like, they can't manage.
Or the jokes get old. Or the jokes get old.
Yeah. Where this one was fresh, interesting, and funny throughout the entire movie. Mm-hmm. So I really felt like that's, you know, and that's not easy to do. Like, because, you know, you also have those Hollywood tropes of like, well, you have to have a, you know, a poignant or emotional ending at the end, or you can't, you know, you can't hook audiences in at the end. I'm like, no, you can do both. You yeah. could have emotion, and but you could also make it funny at the end too. And they did. They did all the way through. And, you know, but just that gut punch at the end with the mid-credit sequence is like, it was a perfect way to end. You know, like I said before, there had to be some debate. I'm like, well, do we put this in the credits or do we make this the actual ending of the film? Because it really felt like this is the ending of the movie. You know, I don't know if this is a post-credit sequence.
No, it's not a post-credit. Yeah. And the thing that I loved about it, it was I didn't see it coming.
No, neither did I.
The ending before that, I saw that all kind of, I was like... And even Francisco was
your little brother.
My little brother was like, "Oh, this is gonna. She's gonna. You know." I was like, "She's figuring this out."
Yeah.
You know, I was like, "Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer's gonna fix Ghost."
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ghost isn't gonna kill everybody. Everyone's gonna. It's gonna be a nice happy ending. Right. They're gonna rescue Michelle Pfeiffer. She's gonna fix Ghost. Like I saw all that coming. Did not see that coming. And when he's down there in the quantum realm. I was like, what are they going to just do? I thought there was just going to be a joke in the quantum realm.
Right, right.
That's what I was kind of looking for. Like, oh, the movie's wrapped up. Him and Evangeline, him and Wasp are together. They're going to fight crime. They're in love. He tricked the FBI. It's all good.
Right.
And then, boom.
Because
if it was Hank Prim and his wife... And did Wasp get, I forgot, did she get evaporated
yeah,
too?
Yeah, all three.
All three got evaporated.
Mm-hmm. You know, you wonder too, like, well, why wasn't Ghost there helping get her own stupid energy? You know, what was she? What was she waiting in a cafe somewhere for her?
She was busy brooding somewhere.
Yeah, for her quantum energy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And it was like, it was so much... Because like the other ones were like, oh, we're calling Mrs. Marvel,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which was cool, but this was like
Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, sorry, Ms. Marvel. Yeah. But this was cool because it literally everyone goes, what does this mean? What's gonna
right?
And like you were saying earlier, that's great when there's all of this discussion that comes out of it, like where's what
right?
What's gonna happen?
You know, it's got to be explained too. Well, Ms. Marvel was in the universe at the time. Why didn't she get dusted? You know, was she a part of? You know, the how do we know that? You know, she wasn't the half that got dusted.
Who gets dusted and who doesn't?
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Because all we know is it's half. That's all.
All we know is it's half, and we don't know who, and we don't. Well, we know who, but we don't know why.
Right. Yeah, how does that selection get made?
Mm-hmm. Now we all know Doctor Strange or someone is going to bring some of these people.
Right,
back.
Right.
There's no...
Yeah.
Disney's not stupid.
Right.
But how they're going to be brought back, who's going to bring them back?
Right.
Are they going to be the same when they come back?
And who's dead permanently?
Yeah, who's dead permanently? And what happens... Like, are they going to come back, but they're going to be crazy or violent? You know, like they've gone bad now because
they've gone all Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, exactly. They go Fred Gwynne on you. Like, what happens? Yeah, exactly. Is there going to be an MCU Pet Cemetery? Yeah. Which would be awesome. They come back and they're nuts.
Has there ever been a person buried down there?
Christ on his throne, no.
Yeah. So, you know, again, another swing and a hit for Marvel. It's been quite a run for literally 20 movies.
My critiques of this are nitpicking.
Right.
I realize I'm nitpicking, and some of it just comes down to my personal preference about how relationships are written.
Right.
And some of it is just, you know, but again, I still had a blast.
Yeah, and this is another piece of trivia. The Wasp becomes the second superhero title to be passed from parent to child. The first was Black Panther. But, you know, technically, Ant-Man, too. I mean, Kirk Douglas was Hank Pym was the original Ant-Man, and now Paul Rudd is. So, you know, they were both those characters were kind of, you know, passed down. Black Panther, for sure. There's plenty of characters in the Marvel Universe that are second and third incarnations. I mean, at some point, even Winter Soldier becomes Captain America.
Right.
And, you know, we've got Ghost Rider. There's multiple Ghost Riders. So that's always a possibility for any of these characters, including Iron Man. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a female Iron Man now. So, you know, we have Into the Spider-Verse where you've got all these different Spider-Mans now. So, you know, I think one of the things for the Marvel Universe expanding is don't get too hung up on the original actor playing the character. I think there's possibly plans for change, you know, as the phases keep going. Like right now we're in phase three, I believe.
Yeah.
I think, or we just ended phase three and then phase four will be, I'm not sure where the actual cutoffs are. Maybe Infinity War 2 is the end of phase three. I don't know. But
who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I know.
Yeah.
Keep winning.
Yeah, you can put the arbitrary phase numbers wherever you like.
Whatever. Like it doesn't take away the movie going experience if you're not sure what phase they're in.
Right. So, but this was a really fun film. Whole family loved it. I loved it. I thought it was just a really, this was the epitome of a summer popcorn movie, you know, because
for the whole family.
For the whole family, exactly. So it was really fun.
Check it out. And like, I mean, I don't say this often, but it's worth seeing in 3D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's worth seeing in 3D because it's just a lot of cool stuff.
It's like the Doctor Strange.
Like the Doctor Strange for sure. Mm-hmm. It's really, there's some really interesting stuff in there. So check it out, guys. And I think that's it.
That is. 83. Except one thing we almost forgot. Whoa. Hello.
Hello.
Patreon sponsors.
Yes.
Thought we'd forget about you on the spoiler.
Never,
oh, no.
Never.
Oh, no.
You don't get forgotten.
No, Johnny Rulon. You don't get forgotten.
Johnny Rulon.
You know, his new novel, Green Cheek, if you haven't checked it out yet, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic, is on Amazon, both digital and hard copy. And it's an experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her immortal lover, T.S., on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. That's happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And our charity, the Audacity Performing Arts Project, which produces after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and the lowest performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Please visit them at cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. Audacityperformingarts.org. Now, I want to say this, how important performing arts is, because my daughter does a lot of performing arts. She did it in grade school. She's doing it in middle school, too. I talked to the performing arts teacher in grade school, and she actually said to me, you know, it's not just about performing arts. It's really about the social interaction of the kids. It's about the lessons they learn about dealing with others. And there's all these things that go into a performing arts project that isn't just singing, dancing, and acting. And that's why I think it's so important. So if you can support this project, definitely support it.
Let me add to that in terms of like, I have six nieces and nephews, and a bunch of them play team sports, and they learn teamwork, work ethic.
It's not just about the sport.
No, there's so much more that you learn.
Right.
And one of them, he's never that into the team sports, right? Mm-hmm. He did martial arts and stuff, but so he joined an orchestra and then he got involved in the theater and he was on the crew in the theater. And I said, good.
Right.
He just needs to learn that teamwork of performing, like we're all putting on a play or whatever the show, we're doing a musical and everyone's not the lead.
If there's no spotlight, you can't see the lead.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, everyone's not the quarterback, but people got a block for them.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing you learn on a theater project. Like, you know, I did crew for a big play when I was a freshman in college. And it was really cool to see. It was a big musical production. I had to fly sets in and out. There was a band, and I got to see how the whole machine worked. One of the things I learned, one of my jobs was to push the flats in and out, and there was a it was a tall stage, and there was a light fixture, and I broke it coming through one of the doors. And the guy that was the stage manager was this guy who was really cool, and he came up to me, and I said, oh, God, and I thought, oh, this guy's going to land me. And I was doing it for, like, a credit or something
right.
So not being paid. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know what? I never warned you about the light and making the turn through this high ceiling. He goes, that's my fault. If it happens again, it's on you.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And you know what that taught me? That taught me, like how to be a leader, how to be in charge, how to manage people.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bark at me. He owned the fact, you know what? I didn't explain that to you. That's on me. That's my job if I don't. Now you know. Mm-hmm. Now it's on
you.
That's
on you. Yeah.
And that,
it's a good lesson.
Hey, that helped me on these 13 episodes that I just directed and produced.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of directing and producing. I'd never done 13 TV shows. And that was from something from 30 years ago.
Right.
And that's going back to the Audacity Performing Arts. It's not just, well, unless you're going to be a professional musician or singer, forget it. No, I'm not a professional football player. I learned a lot. There's so many things you can learn, the things we learned in film school.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's why it's so key to support this stuff and help kids out. And I would say if you want to, well, if you have your own children, if you want well-rounded children, have them play sports, have them do performing arts. Even if they're not going to go on and make a living at it.
It doesn't matter. It makes them more well-rounded.
Exactly. Yeah. You learn so much of that stuff. So we thank them for being sponsors.
Absolutely. All right. That is our spoiler ep.
That is our spoiler ep, guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at Comic-Con doing Rick Meyer's special, his panel.
That is Thursday at 8 p.m., the superhero kung fu movie extravaganza.
If you're at Comic-Con, please come down. It's a fun thing. You learn about all these cool martial art movies coming from Asia. It's great.
Yes, yeah, and the clips are always great. I mean, there's always Rick always puts a good mix together of like mind-blowing action and also some funny ones too.
He'll get someone when he brought, what was it, Kung Fu Yoga,
that was great.
Oh my God.
Yes, kind of want to request that one again.
Yeah, just show that every year. But there's always stuff that like the lights come up and everyone like starts cheering like this is going to be awesome. And then there's stuff that is just hilarious.
Right.
And you'll always meet, he always gets big name people on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool thing. So check that out. Also, I will be doing in Seattle. August 9th and the 11th. August 9th, I'm doing Political Vigilante live in Seattle. August 11th, I'm doing stand-up comedy. Mike Schmidt is on that show. He's actually going to be my guest, too, for Vigilante. I'm trying to get a political candidate and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So go to grahamelwood.com. Come out and support the live shows. The more you guys support the live shows, the more we can do them because it's a financial thing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we'd like to do more CFN shows live and maybe take them to your cities, too.
Yep.
But we got some groundwork to do for that.
And you get the new CFN logo shirt.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've got plenty of those. We ordered a bunch, so they are in the store. Like I said, you can get them solo. You could get them with a gift pack if you're a new listener. You get the book and the earbuds DVD together at a discount. You save like $15 or whatever. We really discounted it. Instead of $75, I think it's $59, and then you get a free poster with it too.
There you go.
So check it out. And then if you want to roll the dice a little bit, you get a t-shirt and a mystery shirt. You know, another $10, and you get whatever we have in the garage.
Maybe it's a Bane shirt. Maybe it's an old logo shirt.
Who knows? Could be an earbuds shirt.
Could be an earbuds shirt. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. Mm. You don't know.
You won't know even when you get it.
Well, wow. All right.
It really is a mystery shirt.
Oh, wow. Is it phasing?
Yeah.
The shirt's phasing.
It's a ghost shirt.
In the quantum realm?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you to Aaron Brungard and everyone here at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. Big things happening here at All Things Comedy.
Yes.
We're very excited to be part of it. And like, subscribe, listen, share, all those cool things. Support the show.
Yep. We'll still be doing a regular show next week, but then we're headed to Comic-Con on Wednesday. So your regular listening program will not be interrupted.
Will not.
So, and we will hopefully we'll see you down there next week.
All right, guys. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.